the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We celebrate today the great feast of Corpus Christi, a day we set aside to reflect more deeply upon what happens at every Mass and why it happens, where, at the words of the ordained priest, the words of Jesus himself, "This is my body, this is my blood," simple bread and wine that are brought up here in procession make a complete change in their substance, that is, the reality of what they are, beyond their appearance, what they appear to our eyes to be. They become, for us, our nourishment and salvation, the very body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. Not just his body and blood, not only soul and divinity, but the body, blood, soul, and divinity that is the entire Christ. In this sacrament, Jesus comes to you as completely and fully as he can. He is holding nothing back from you. He is giving his entire self to you. He does ask the same in return from us. What humility this is. I ask you to allow me to reflect with you briefly and in a much more personal way than I normally would for a homily as I celebrate with you 20 years of priesthood. Just the other day I realized, of course, that half of that, almost half, it'll be half in August, has been with you, fine people. And I can honestly tell you, there is not a more fitting feast for us to reflect upon than this one. Many things led me to be standing in front of you right now at this moment, but this belief in the real presence of Jesus in the most holy Eucharist was the final straw in my conversion to the Catholic faith, that straw that broke the camel's back, right? I believed it even before I knew that Catholics believed it. I believed it before I found out completely by accident that the faith I grew up in did not believe it. And in many ways, I became Catholic because the Church has this as so central a belief. Think about it. The Mass, the Eucharist, the real presence of Christ brings together people from all over, all walks of life, all backgrounds, like nothing else. We have in our parish in Aiken, believe it or not, people from literally every continent except Antarctica. They are here. Africa and Asia and Europe, North, South America, Australia, and island nations. And they all come, we all come together because what? Jesus is drawing us like nothing else. Countries that probably are enemies in other places are not here. But of course, this belief has to be something that's not merely from the mind, the intellect. We do need, by the way, that, after all, God gave us intellect and reason to probe his mind and to share in his very image. That's good. But this intellect has to be joined to what seems to be to us the most fickle feature of all human features, and that is the human heart. I say fickle, but it's only fickle if we let it be. We know it doesn't have to be. We are capable of loving completely. We are able to give ourselves totally to another, even unto death. I have, over my 20 years, witnessed enough wedding anniversaries, 50 and 60 and at this parish over 70 years to see that it is doable. It is absolutely achievable to leave selfishness behind and in its place to share a real agape, a self-sacrificing love. I've seen it with parents and their children giving themselves totally. I have witnessed the gift of priests and deacons and religious sisters throughout my 20 years celebrating the same anniversaries, 50 and 60, one time 70 years, total devotion to Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. This kind of love is, in a word, possible, because all things are with God. We see it most especially through the ages in Jesus in the Holy Eucharist, a sacrament so far above the other sacraments that we even call it the most blessed sacrament. The most blessed sacrament. If you can open your hearts and minds to see the reality that is literally right in front of your eyes, if you and I can truly stop our selfishness and allow ourselves to believe in this something so wonderfully astonishing, then we could never leave the church. We might disagree with some of her leaders, sometimes rightly. We might lament the lack of hospitality and compassion and virtues of some of her members. And if we're honest, we'll see that in ourselves. But we could never leave her, the church, who is so greater, much greater than any one of her members. The bride of Christ, she who brings us him. And ultimately, that is precisely what the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist is meant to do, to bring us him, Jesus Christ, who promised to never leave us orphans. Jesus Christ, true God, true man, God in the flesh. All of our beliefs and dogmas of faith, however, are meaningless and will seem like a myth unless we develop a true friendship with this same Jesus, really and substantially present here. The former Archbishop of Philadelphia, Charles Chaput, says it beautifully. Quote, "It's about knowing and loving and following Jesus Christ as the friends he intended us to be, not merely knowing about him, but knowing him with a passion in our hearts for the living person of Jesus Christ, without which our faith is empty, but with it, all things are possible." Looking back over 20 years and more, there are so many things to say, but for your sake, I won't fit them all in here. But it does include a very long list of people for whom I am truly grateful to God. People who formed me from the beginning, like my parents and my siblings, and teachers and ministers, and later priests and deacons and bishops, professors, and the wonderful lay people I have come to know from all the parishes I've ever served. And I keep in touch with so many of them. When I took the church as my spouse, as Jesus did, they became my family. You've become my family. Those countless men and women over the years who have, sometimes with great difficulty, called me father. The impact of all these people on me, they may never know what they've done for me. And the same, if you think about it, is probably true for many people in your life as well. As I think about all the people who've led me to God and have helped me, my heart is filled simply with gratitude. I'll conclude with a quote from that same Archbishop Chaput, who sums up my thoughts perfectly in his marvelous book, Things Worth Dying For. He said, "The point is simply this. We rarely see the full effect of the good that we do in this life. So much of what we do seems a tangle of frustrations and failures, like the back of a tapestry. We don't see this side of the tapestry, the patterns and meaning that our faith weaves. But one day, we shall see the other side. And on that day, we'll see the beauty that God has allowed us to add to the great story of his creation, the riches we've added to the lives of our family and friends, the mark for the better that we've left on the world, and the revelation of his love that goes on from age to age, no matter how good or bad the times. We are each an unrepeatable, infinitely treasured part of that story. And this is why our lives matter." Praised be Jesus Christ in the most holy Eucharist. Praised be Jesus Christ, now and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us stand.